From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series devoted to the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. In the course of these studies, we are seeing how the Lord took a fanatical enemy of the gospel and transformed him into the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen, apart from Christ himself. A devout Pharisee, Saul lived in carnal security, absolutely convinced that he was doing the will of God by seeking to stamp out every vestige of the religion of Jesus Christ. Deep inside him, however, he was unable to escape the conviction brought on by the preaching of Stephen, in whose martyrdom Saul had been a participant. As much as he fought against it, the force of God's law began to disturb his confidence, and he began to feel his guilt before a holy God. Slowly, the realization dawned upon him that sin had fooled him. Then, on the Damascus Road, he met Christ and found his true security. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of Kicking Against the Pricks. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Tender Comfort. The text is Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. A mother's comfort. Ah, this is tenderness itself. How she enters into her child's grief. How she presses him to her bosom and tries to take all his sorrow into her own heart. He can tell her all, and she will sympathize as nobody else can. Of all comforters, the child loves best his mother, and even full-grown men have found it so. Does Jehovah condescend to act the mother's part? This is goodness indeed. We readily perceive how he is a father. But will he be as a mother also? Does not this invite us to holy familiarity, to unreserved confidence, to sacred rest? When God himself becomes the comforter, no anguish can long abide. Let us tell out our trouble, even though sobs and sighs should become our readiest utterance. He will not despise us for our tears. Our mother did not. He will consider our weakness as she did, and he will put away our faults only in a surer, safer way than our mother could do. We will not try to bear our grief alone. That would be unkind to one so gentle and so kind. Let us begin the day with our loving God, and wherefore should we not finish it in the same company, since mothers weary not of their children?
Is it?
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
a phrase in Scripture that spells death to carnal security more than that phrase. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Now, this is what was happening to Saul of Tarsus. He began to feel the impact of the great prohibitions of the law. He felt the searching light of the law scanning through his soul, focusing on things that he had long forgotten, magnifying things that he was minimizing, bringing things to view that he was trying to keep away in the background. Thus he came to feel the justice of the accusations of God's law. He was beginning to feel himself guilty. In the words of our text, the commandment came, and I died. No longer carnally secure, no longer happy in himself, no longer satisfied with himself, now squirming under the searchlight of the law of God, he felt himself guilty. That meant he came to feel the fury of its condemnation. When he says, I died, he means all his hopes lay in ruin. It all came to a crushing climax on the Damascus Road. And as he lay there, smitten to the ground, blinded by the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, he at last realized how his sin had fooled him. His sin had masqueraded as goodness. Stop and think of that. All the time he was doing his deepest, darkest, deadliest works of sin, he felt he was serving God. His sin had masqueraded as goodness. Saul of Tarsus was never alone in that. There are some people sitting in church pews from week to week, hurtling to hell, yet absolutely sure of their goodness. Their sin has fooled them. His sin had lain dormant. Dormant in the sense of causing him no concern. He could read the Bible and yet be convicted. He could read the law of God and it never caused him a moment's concern. Sin was lying dormant. It was hiding its true nature. There are some of you who have read this Bible again and again and again. You've learned the Ten Commandments in school or in Sabbath school. You know the words. But you've never felt its conviction. You've never known what it is for that law to probe your heart. Then, when the Lord Jesus started to move in this man, God revealed his law as Saul had never seen it before. And as soon as that happened, sin showed its true colors. Now, I don't want to get into this in any detail, but this is one of the striking things of Romans 7. When the commandment came, what happened? Sin revived. In other words, as soon as God said, thou shalt not, and revealed what he meant by that, something inside Saul said, I'm going to do it. That's how sin works. Saul felt the hatred of his own heart against the law of God. Now remember, this was a startling revelation to him, because up until then, he had preened himself and prided himself in being a lover of the law of God. He was a doer of the law of God. And yet now, as he came face to face with the real meaning of the law, he found something within him that wanted to break the law, discard the law, despise the law, and do away with the law. That's sin. That is not unique to Saul. That is true of every man. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. These are the true colors of sin. Trying to break God's law, even worse, trying to use God's law as a justification to cover its own tracks. Rebellious stubbornness. And as Saul of Tarsus felt that, that's when he felt himself a spiritual corpse. I died, slammed by his own sin, ruined by his own careless assumption that he had had nothing to worry about. Now, there didn't seem for him to be any way out. Saul of Tarsus was on the high road to disaster on the Damascus Road. He thought he was going to Damascus. Humanly speaking, he was on the edge of hell. He was on the edge of utter self-destruction. On the one hand, he was driving himself with relentless fury along the traditional path to do what he had set out to do, crush the Church of Christ, be a good Pharisee. But on the other hand, he had come in his own heart to feel that it was all wrong. He was missing the light. He was missing the truth. This turmoil was going on within him. To go on, he had to kick constantly against the pricks. What was he to do? His religion didn't work. My, what an experience that is when you suddenly find the religion to which you've devoted your life doesn't work. That's a shocking experience. We had a dear man lived next door to us in Belfast for many years. I've often said he was the single most devout Roman Catholic I've ever met. Among the most honorable men, Christian or non-Christian, I've ever known. A man of integrity, honesty, uprightness, morality, and decency. A better neighbor, a better friend you'll never have, however long you live. But a very, very fervent Roman Catholic. Gave his life to that religion. David came to die. The priest came and he gave him the last rites. He gave him all that popery could give a man for eternity. Then David took a turn for the better. While it was not a permanent recovery, for a little while his family hoped it might be. He lived for quite a number of months. Never again did he desire to see a priest. Never again did he desire to hear a priest. When the priest came, it was not at his behest. When finally he was dying, his wife said to him, "Will I send for Father Courtney?" He said, "No, I do not want him." In the months intervening, my mother had been assiduously witnessing to him of Christ. I trust that he had come to see the light of the gospel. I surely hope so. But I do know that in his dying hour, he said, "I do not want the priest. Send for Mrs. Kern." And together, they read the scriptures of truth. But what a devastating experience for a man to give his life to religion and find that his religion doesn't work. It happened to Saul of Tarsus. His complacency was gone. Couldn't talk his way out of his calamity, yet he couldn't ignore it. He could do nothing about it. Not much wonder, he said. He felt like a dead man. You know, some people never come to realize these things until it's eternally too late. Saul of Tarsus came to realize them under conviction in time to save his soul. I want to ask you tonight, has God brought you to a similar place? Has God brought you to the place where it appears there's nowhere on earth you can turn? The old self-righteous confidence is shattered. The old hopes lie in the dust. Your pride is gone. Your self-assurance is gone. And yet, you can't find a way forward. Is that where you are tonight? I'm going to say something that will sound strange in fundamentalist ears, and I say it as a fundamentalist. Preachers are dead scared for people to be in that position. For some crazy reason, nowadays preachers want to rush people away from conviction and get them to assured salvation. Listen, it's not my job to give you an assured salvation. I can't do that. That's God's job. And I'm sure He'll make a good job of it. Be assured that conviction is a work of grace. Be assured that when God slays a man, it's in order to make him alive. When God brings you to the end of yourself, it's to bring you to the beginning of Christ. It was when Saul of Tarsus was thus brought to the end of himself that the Lord Jesus stepped in and revealed His saving grace. So the last thing we can say about him here is that he received pardon and righteousness in Christ that satisfied the law and gave, notice the words, true security to his soul. He had been in carnal security. Ah, now, he entered in to true security. Now he began to grasp what Stephen had been talking about. Now he entered into the release, the freedom, and I use that word advisedly. That's how our translators have translated his, Paul's own words in Romans chapter 6. When he talks about justification, they talk about freedom. He began to see and feel the freedom of a free justification. What a freedom that is. I'm no longer, says Paul, in effect, no longer laboring to make God love me. I'm no longer doing to make God save me. I'm no longer working to earn merit. I'm no longer serving in order to earn or merit or deserve anything from the hand of God. I have come to the place of death. This is what Romans 7 is all about. I have died to the law in the body of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, He satisfied the law. His is a perfect righteousness. I am in Christ, and I am now depending on the merit of the Savior. By simple faith, I am trusting Christ for my pardon, Christ for my righteousness, Christ for my merit, Christ for my way to heaven. Will God receive me? Yes, because He receives Jesus Christ. Can God deny me? No, because He cannot deny Jesus Christ. You see, He came on the Damascus Road, confessing Christ to be His only Lord and Savior. He came into the experience of a free justification. That's what the gospel is all about.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.